Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts
tired, and so they travel all over in an RV, and they'll be like an hour outside of San Diego in March, so for a couple weeks. So I said, I'm gonna come see you.
Yeah, so there might be like they're probably like Oceanside, because there's a lot of your father retired.
No,
okay. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of campgrounds,
okay,
around that area, and that's what me and Mr. Magnificent are gonna do.
I love it.
You know, but I want that Mercedes-Benz ones, girl. It's got to be tricked out for me. I can't be
got
just,
it.
I can't do it. And I don't want it too big in case I have to drive it.
Yeah. Yeah. My parents pull theirs in their truck, but it is definitely glamping. They've got the granite countertops and all that good kind of stuff.
Oh, shoot. They just, how many kids is it?
It was just me and my brother. We're both grown and out. So that's it.
They say, akuta matata. Why do we act a fool? That's what I'm going to ask.
I tell you what, perfect. Ask away.
Okay. And then you lost over 100 pounds.
I did.
And I want to talk to you about that because, girl, my struggle is real. My struggle is real. I like to eat. I'm not unhappy. You know, I don't have drama. I like to eat, damn it. And I just, you know, it's that combination. That's like, I just had a great breakfast and my husband's in there cooking something. I said, oh, let me taste that. I just have to say no. And if you don't put it in, it'll go away. So we'll talk about that. Amazon, you have a book, right?
I do have a book. Mm-hmm.
Good, good. Well, hello, brains. We are back at the spot on the edge with April Mahoney and Carly Grinner.
Grinner, you got it. Like a big smile.
Like a big old grinner. Okay. We're going to talk about behavior because she's a behavioral specialist. And I want her to help us stop acting a fool and understand why people go from a flicker to a flame. There's no such thing as patience or tolerance or understanding anymore. Everybody's just, you know, and it's not good. And what are some of the things that impact our emotions and our behavior? And also, brain, she lost 100 pounds. Can you believe it? Bravo. That's a whole person. I just need to lose a little person. So there's a lot going on. And she's the author of a great book. So we're going to talk to her about all of that and then some here on the edge. How you doing, Carly?
I am doing fantastic. I appreciate you having me, and I am looking forward to this conversation.
Well, you are the business. So, you know, you look pretty young and tender. Yeah, I don't know how much life experience you have. I don't think you have as much as mine, probably half mine, but you have mastered the art of behavior and understanding behaviors. What drew you to that?
I'll tell you, it's kind of a funny story. I have a bachelor's in sports management, and then I went on and got a master's in sports psychology. And I really did a lot of my coursework in intrinsic versus extrinsic motivation. So basically internal versus external motivation and all those big words and all that. And it just fascinated me. The more I researched, the more I understood that true behavior change comes from within. We can't punish people into doing what we want them to do. We can't, you know, maybe in the short term, but if we're looking for long-term change, true behavior change comes from within. And so it was really cool. I had the master's in sports psychology, and then I was just kind of looking, hey, what do I want to get into? And I came across the field of behavior analysis, and I fell in love because it sort of marries the science with the psychology, even though psychology is a science, but it marries the data analysis with the why do we do things.
Absolutely. And you worked with athletes. There's a certain mindset of an athlete. It is like, I hate to use this analogy, but it's kind of like the one of a sniper. You know, you are in it to win it and kill it.
You absolutely.
You already see the end result. That's how I manifest. You already see the journey. You already see yourself winning. You already are pre-planning for the next thing that you need to execute. So I get it. I get it. And so there's a deep correlation between what you're doing and what you went to school for. You know, so many times people go to school for something like that, girl, and they end up being a curator in the art gallery.
That, yeah, I hear it. I hear it. And I had my fair share of things where it wasn't really what I went to school for. It was like, when I found this, it was like, this is it. This is what we're doing.
So this is also in the line of psychology and psychotherapy, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. So somebody is having anger management problems. We'll start with that. And they knock on your door. When you open up and you take a look at them, what do you say?
Yeah. So with that, you have to understand there's always a function to a behavior. So there's always a reason the person is doing the behavior. And so what's really cool about every, or interesting, I should say, I don't know about cool, but interesting is two behaviors can look the exact same in different people. So they might be doing the same thing, having emotional outbursts or violent tendencies or whatever, but the function behind it could be different. And so that's where you have to really understand, hey, what is causing them? What is the function of this behavior? And so, you know, we say WTF, what's the function? And so
that's not what I say.
I mean, you know, in behavior analysis, that's what we say. And so we have to really understand, you know, what is causing this behavior to occur. So, you know, why do we eat the Snickers bar? We know it's not good for us. We absolutely know it's not good for us, but we get that automatic reinforcement, that instant gratification. And so that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the good taste and all of that. So what's the function of the behavior that we're doing?
Right. So we're looking for root causes as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. So, you know, a lot of times I ask myself these questions, you know, why do I want the Snicker bar, the supersize? not the mini, but the supersize.
Go big or go home.
Okay. So, and I know that it's not good for me, but it's satisfying me. And then once I do it and I have a drink of water, I'm okay to the next 3 or 4 hours. And I'm asking myself, am I eating because I'm hungry? Am I eating because I need to be entertained? Am I eating because there's some deep-rooted psychological problem? You know, and people say root cause. How do people get to the root cause? You know, through talk therapy, through psychotherapy, how do they really get to the underlying reason for the function?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think having outside help is always a great thing. You know, I coach people, and having that coach, having that outside person looking in, they can really help you develop. But I think you also have to understand your core values, because when you understand your core values, you can understand, hey, and then you can start asking yourself, hey, is this behavior in alignment with my core values? And if your core values is happiness and satisfaction, then technically for a limited time, yeah, that behavior is in alignment. However, if your core values are health, if it's long-term relationships or whatever, if that's what your core value is, then you can kind of sit and think, you know, is this behavior in alignment with the long-term core value?
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Body image. We're not even going to really get into that because it's so distorted. These pictures that you see of people are not real. You know, they're Photoshopped to the nine, or they went under the knife. You know, it's a lot. And then all these young girls are really having a hard time. I don't know if that would have been me though, you know, having a hard time looking at other people. I like their things, maybe their purses or their shoes or their travel or their car, but not so much about how somebody else looked. What do you say to young women that are really kind of going through this body image struggle?
I love that question so much. So I always say health is wealth. And so that's something that I struggled with, you know, as a younger woman in my 20s back then. I really was like, I would see these women and it's like, man, I wish I could look like that. And then it really took going on my health journey and my weight loss journey to understand that it doesn't matter what I look like. It doesn't matter what the scale says. It doesn't matter what size clothes I'm in. What matters is I am eating healthy. I am putting forth my best effort to be the healthiest version of myself. And then the rest just falls into place. And when you really change your mindset to understanding that health is wealth, and rather than I have to look a certain way, because I'll be totally honest, I have huge thighs and big arms, and I always will. Even at my smallest, I've got those thick thighs and thick arms. I'm a very muscular person, which is why I do powerlifting. And so really understanding that not everyone is the same, and that it's okay to be happy where you are, but also be wanting to make improvements to really manifest your health.
And it's about choices and options. You know, I go in there. First thing that I've done is I shop the outer perimeter of the grocery store. Okay. Because down them aisles is murder for me.
Yep.
And then I talk to my plate. I'll make my plate and I look at it and I go, oh, there's a lot of white stuff, a lot of cream and sauce. And, you know, no, I want more color. Mm-hmm. And then I have a conversation with myself. I had gotten to a very bad habit. Every time I'm in the car, I'm going to a meeting. When you're going to a meeting, you're going to eat. So when I get in the car, I figure, you know, I've got grocery up the yin yang, but I pull right in somewhere or go to a restaurant, and that's not the best choice. So now that I realize that those are three of my triggers, you know, I go through this ritual and this routine before I put anything in my mouth. But I had lost about 35 pounds. And that's it was for a minute. Because I looked at myself in the mirror and I didn't recognize who that person was, Carly. I was tripped out. Okay. I was like, looking at myself like, who's this thin person? Are you deserving of that? Why did you lose this weight? What is it? It was a whole mental trip. And I was like, no, my best Kevin Hart voice. You're supposed to be happy. You're supposed to, you know, you're looking good. You're thin. You're all this kind of stuff. I went through a whole head trip. Where was your head at when you realized that you had lost 100 pounds, a whole person?
Yeah. So I'll tell you, that is where I really was able to make that shift because I lost it pretty quickly. I lost it in 8 months. And in doing so, though, I really put in the mindset work and I really dove in. And that was the main thing with the program I was doing. It was mindset is key. And so being able to really transform my mindset, really kind of during the whole weight loss process, but it was exciting. I felt good. I felt like I was where I was supposed to be. And, you know, your experience describes so many people, and it describes me even back when I say that I was on the yo-yo dieting. You know, I would lose some. This was all throughout my 20s. It's like I would lose some, then gain it back because you don't feel like you should because my mindset wasn't right. And so that was the best thing I could have done for myself was really dive in and do the work on my mindset.
Okay. So again, setting your mind, brains, is like setting your compass. You've got to be headed true north. Sometimes you're going to go east or west, and sometimes you're going to fall and go south, but the goal is to head north. So a person that's starting a weight loss journey, or no, let's don't stick on weight loss. Let's talk about, you know, a person that's got anger issues, you know, because everybody's angry right now. I caught myself up in that. And I found that I was watching too many gangster movies on Netflix. Oh, yes. I was binging, you know, and I couldn't wait for the next episode. And they was just killing people like it was nothing. And it desensitized me. And not that I want to go out and kill people, but I was seeing how easy these young kids that are playing these video games fall into this because it doesn't seem real. And then when you actually go out and do this, you know, you do have a deep sense of remorse because you realize the consequences to your actions. What are some key steps that you should tell people just to kind of control their anger? Quit going from a flicker to a flame. I mean, you know, give it some time to process. What would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we go back to, there's three things you have to really think about. It's what we eat, what we think, and what we do. So, and again, those core values, asking yourself, does my behavior, do my actions align with my core values? And so I think it always comes back to that core value and that alignment with the core values, because, you know, you think about it, we do something out of anger and it's like, oh gosh, that's not who I am. That's not where I was meant to be. But like you said, we get desensitized to it because of what, not only what we're physically eating, but what else we're putting into our bodies, the news, the TV shows, all of that stuff. And just even social media, I did a deep clean of my social media, and it's like the second anything negative pops up, it's like, hide, we're not doing that. That is not on my feed. And so my feed is very positive. And
my thing is, you know what, even with the nonsense, people don't even give themselves enough time to process fact from fiction. Oh, I saw it on Facebook. It's not the gospel.
Exactly. Really.
It's a, you know, it's a cesspool of information and confusion. Do your own research. I don't want this much of the news. I want at least this much of the news so that I can edit and filter. I even do that sometimes, you know, I'll just completely, and it's hard for me because I'm in media, but I completely pull away and turn it off. My husband says it's time to turn off the device, because you just get into this machine and people get that keyboard courage, Carly. They just say anything. They don't think that there is any repercussion from that, but there is. And it's like a bullet. Once fired, baby, you can't get it back.
Absolutely. And that's something I'm very conscious about. I pretty much just keep to myself unless I have something positive to say. And you know, it really goes back to the saying, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. You know, and there's an appropriate way to approach a debate. I'm not saying I never have a healthy debate with someone, but I'm not going to get into the arguing match because, and here's a concept in behavior, but if you think about the concept of arguing, you know, just think about arguing with your spouse, significant other, whatever. When you're arguing, are you getting calmer as you argue? You're not. And then if somebody looks at you and says, calm down, you ain't calming down.
Yeah, then you really get,
well, you're calming up.
Right.
Like,
right.
And that's it. And then you continue just the cycle of arguing and arguing. And then nothing gets accomplished because you think about it. What were you trying to get accomplished from the start of the argument? Did you want them to agree with you? Mm-hmm. Or did you want them to, you wanted to argue basically. So I guess you're accomplishing that. But if you really wanted them to say, you know what, April, you've got a great point. You know what? I'm just going to completely change my views.
Right.
Chances are that's not going to happen with the argument.
Or when people start swearing, you know, a potty mouth. My mother called me out on that before she passed away a few years ago. She heard me and my girlfriends in the backyard and we was a little tipsy, you know, and she said the filth that came out of you so-called lady's mouth was awful. There are over 7 million words that we can use, and people choose to use the filthiest 10. It doesn't make you more powerful. It doesn't win you the argument. It tunes people off. It turns them off. People don't want to be around you, you know, especially if you're in business or you're a woman, and you got all this filth laying on your tongue. It's really a turnoff. So how do you become a more effective communicator when you change your behavior, you know, like your body language, like a smile, like keeping your mouth shut? What are some techniques that you give your clients?
Yeah, so I think you have to be intentional. That's the main thing. You have to be intentional. You have to, again, make up your mind that this is what I'm going to do, and then review it, because no one's perfect. You know, I don't eat clean 100% of the time. I don't not argue with people 100% of the time. I'm not perfect, you know, and I do this, like I'm a professional at this, but I'm not perfect and that's okay. But what you have to do is admit, hey, you know what? I could have handled that a little differently. Let me regroup and then kind of play it back in your head or revisit and just say, you know, how should this scenario have played out a little differently? You know, what can I do next? And it's just that practicing. You know, they say doctors practice medicine, right, you know, right. Athletes, they practice their sport. They don't go out and practice one time and then they're just hitting home runs every single time. That's not how it works. They have to practice. They practice every day. And so that's what I tell my clients is, listen, we have to practice being intentional every single day. Right, and the right. more you practice, the better you're going to get at it.
Right. And go light on yourself because you're going to make mistakes. That's like me, you know, I say, oh, I didn't do very well. And I call it a live it. I don't call it a diet because I'm at that point in my life that I want to make it a lifestyle change. I don't do it. And if it's something that I, you know, enjoy, I slow down and eat it slower. So it lays on my palate longer and I just savor the flavor all down in between my gums and suck my teeth, just make sure that you get every morsel out of it so that you can enjoy it. Because life is supposed to be pleasurable. Life is supposed to be full of smiles and warm greetings. And, you know, but people are afraid now. They're so afraid. They're walking on eggshells.
They are. And I think that goes back to, you know, you don't want to ignite that flame. You don't want that's the flicker to become that flame in someone else by something that you said. And so we just kind of compress ourselves and just say, oh, well, it'll be okay. I just need to make myself smaller. And when in reality, we need to shine. We need to make ourselves shine so bright because we all have a gift, you know, and we all, you know, I heard a talk one time that really resonated with me. It was talking about, you know, what's your purpose? And the person said, you are purpose. And I was like, oh my goodness. I love that so much. And I've really just kind of hung on to that. And I try to live purposefully every day. You know, you live intentionally. You set your goals, you set what you have to do, and you live intentionally. And again, going back to the core values, you know, does it align? Do my actions align? And not everything does. I absolutely binge watch Netflix. I'm a Grey's Anatomy fan through and through.
Girl, I tell you, but no, I was watching them hardcore gangster movies. I was watching The Queen and Power and all these other shows that were just really violent, you know, and it was numbing. And I was like, this is not good for me. Let me watch some comedy. Let me watch, you know, let me turn to the lifestyle channel or, you know, what's that other one?
Lifetime or?
Lifetime and the Hallmark,
yeah.
You know, same storyline all the way through, but it's nice and easy going. So you compiled a book. Tell us about your book.
Yeah. So my book is Level Up. I don't know if you can see. It's a simple guide to a body.
Just a little bit. Yeah, we got a little glare. Yeah, there you go. There we go.
So Level Up. It's a simple guide to a body, brain, and spirit shift. Wow. So this is really kind of my story in a nutshell. I say I went from thriving to surviving to now thriving again. And it's really kind of my story. And then it gives you tips and tricks. So, you know, how can I lay out my action plan to move forward and to reach my goals? And so it's really an interactive book. There's lots of places to fill things in. And there's there's a whole chapter on mindset and really the power of positive thinking. And, you know, we hear so much now people talking about toxic positivity. Here's the thing, you know, it's okay to choose to be happy, but it's also okay to feel your feelings. You get through it, you process it. And as long as you have that overall positive outlook, you know, things are happening for me, not to me, you know, and I am purpose. We have that overall positive outlook, then we know we can get through things. And
but that's, there's some trickery with that too, because happiness is another high. What is the next thing that's going to make me happy? Is it those shoes? Is it a diamond ring? Is it a lobster tail? What is the next thing that is going to send those endorphins off in my brain? I wish people would go back to simplicity and Chinese philosophy of just planting your feet softly on the earth and being present, being happy for every single, not every single day, brains. You know, there's somebody that's going to die 5 minutes from now, 5 seconds from now, that major heart attack, whatever, you don't know. You have to live in the moment. You know, you have to live in the moment and being content with that. Even if you're in a difficult situation, I call it a holding pattern. It's a place for you to process. The things that hurt us the most are our best teachers. Unfortunately, you will get the bumps and bruises, you'll lick your wounds, you pick yourself up, and you won't let that happen again, hopefully. Now, if you're repeating these same patterns, then you have to look a little bit deeper and say, hey, is this epigenetics? Is this generational trauma that I'm going through? Is this a bad relationship? Am I drawing the same people? Am I self-medicating? You know, yes, you have to ask yourself those I am questions. Isn't that right, Carly?
Absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head. It's, you know, our worst experiences are our best teachers. And that's how we really, I found myself in my worst moments. That's where I really dug in and did even more mindset development. You know, I talked a lot about my mindset transformation during the weight loss journey, and I truly didn't, I started the transformation there. And I wasn't finished. I wasn't finished. It took another medical trauma for me to really dive in and figure out, hey, listen, I've got this mindset stuff down now. And that's where we really learn. And like you said, hopefully we don't make the same mistakes again. And, you know, and some things, some of the things we go through are out of our control. You know, we have those traumas that kind of seemingly come out of nowhere. And again, that's that generational trauma that all that you talk about, but you have to really understand that having the right mindset can really pull you through anything. And the right mindset does not necessarily mean always happy. It just means right. A healthy habits and healthy coping mechanisms to get you through.
Mindset, people, it's a big $25 word, you know. Setting your mind, setting goals. You know, if you wanted to go on a trip to Hawaii, believe me, you would do everything in your power to save every nickel because you are looking forward to something. So let that be your happy point. That's what I'm doing. I'm looking at images of me when I was, you know, lighter weight. I'm looking at myself. I went to the roller skating rink, girl, and I felt like a geriatric. I used to be able to bounce and roll and spin and all this kind of stuff. I was holding on to the rail. I was never so ashamed, but I keep at it. I go every Tuesday night and I'm getting a little better and I'm getting a little better and I'm getting my groove back. So it's, you know, it's a projectile. You're shooting yourself out of a cannon. Okay. But allow yourself to land. And sometimes, you know, you're not going to land where you are, but it's consistency. See, that's my thing. Okay. Consistency makes the cake rise, brains. You can't put baking soda in at one time and don't put it in the next time and expect to get the same result. You say mindset, but how do we set this compass and set this gauge to be consistent?
Yeah, I think right there you hit the nail on the head, because as you were talking, I'm like, you are being so consistent and I love it. And then you said the word consistency. That's one of the main things I teach, consistency. And then habits. Habits are the best thing. We just have to do a little bit better every day. So, you know, you don't hold on to the rails for 2 minutes next time you go, right, you know, right. And then the next time it's, you don't hold on it onto it for 3 minutes. And, you know, we just have to have the consistency. One, we show up, but then you also have to develop the habits. Once we develop those habits, we really start to create that unstoppable mindset, but accountability is in there too. You have to have something to be accountable for. and someone to be accountable to. That's why hiring a coach is such a powerful thing, because you know you've got to check in. You know, you know you've got someone to answer to. And then the concept of perseverance, really making sure that you show up enough that we can persevere through whatever.
And don't be, like I said, don't beat yourself up. Love on yourself regardless. If you don't do it, okay, you didn't do it today, then we're going to start, you know, over tomorrow, or we'll start over in the next 15 minutes. That's like people in these New Year's resolutions. You know, they're going to wait till January. You don't need to wait till January. You can start right now. Right now. Because January is not promised to you.
You're correct. And you know what? I started my weight loss journey on a Thursday, middle of November on a Thursday. I think it was, and that's when I started. And then I look back and I'm like, I'm so glad I did, because I was probably 20 pounds down by the new year.
Wow. See? And then you just have a push goal. So let's ask Carly some fun questions. I'm just going to throw out some random questions and hear what you have to say.
Perfect.
What brings you your greatest joy?
Oh, greatest joy. Helping people.
Okay. What does your favorite color?
My favorite color is a toss-up. I love purple, but I also love gold glitter. And glitter is a color in my book.
All right. All right. Why do you like purple?
I think it gives me a sense of power.
Regal royalty. If you were an animal, what animal would you be and why?
Ooh. That's a great question. What animal would I be? I think a giraffe, because I'm so short. I'm only 5'2".
The second person that said giraffe, they usually don't pick giraffes. You know what I'd be?
What?
A party animal.
I love it. I love it.
I would be doing the most. Absolutely. What are three things that you cannot live without?
Oh, three things I can't live without. My family. Oh. Three things I can't live without. Oh my goodness. That's a good one. That's a hard one. Let's see. I'm going to say family. Oh, my goodness.
We'll come back to that.
Yes. Come back to that
one. You're on a desert island, stranded. What would be three things you'd have to have?
Okay. Three things I'd have to have. A good book. Water. Because I'm not drinking water out of a faucet. I'm just kind of bougie like that. So I've got to have some water. And then a friend.
Oh, that's sweet. That's what someone else said too. They wanted somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally get it. So what are some of the foods that you personally extracted from your own diet that really created a win in your weight loss journey?
Okay, yeah, that's a great question. So things that I extracted from my own diet, fast food for sure was one of them. I hate to say this, but chips and salsa. And this is not to say I don't ever eat chips and salsa, because that's my weakness. I love Mexican food. And so I always say it's not a matter of what I can and can't have. It's just a matter of how much and how often. And so I really started to plan those things. So if I was going to have chips and salsa, it was totally planned out. And so it wasn't just mindless. I didn't bring it in the house anymore. So mine was more the salty type of foods. I was not a big sweets eater.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. And so what things have you replaced that with?
Yeah. So I'll tell you, I love crunch. Hence the chip.
My salad, I've got to have some crunch. And that's my thing. Croutons, something crunchy besides a carrot and a celery stick or something. I need some crunch.
Yeah. So one thing that I do for the crunch, to satiate the crunch, is cucumbers. I think that's a really great one. Especially if you, I love cucumbers. And so those have kind of become my chips, but then also kale chips. And the ones that you make yourself. So roasted kale chips or baked kale chips, you just drizzle some olive oil on them, bake them in the oven at 350 for about 30, 35 minutes till they get kind of brown. You do have to eat them right away though. You can't store them for later or else they'll get soggy and mushy and then they're gross, but they are so good. I always find myself making more.
Yeah. What do you say to the young woman that's looking in the mirror right now and she is going through a bulimic episode where she's starving herself? What would you say to her?
Yeah. So food is not the enemy. Food is your friend. And it's hard because I don't understand. I don't personally have experience with that, with an eating disorder in that way. However, there is light at the end of the tunnel and you can get through it. You know, I was the opposite. I was an overeater, not to the point of binge eating or anything, but just, you know, I would overeat on calories and all of that, and then just continue to gain weight. And so understanding that food, you can have a healthy relationship with food. It is possible.
And food is a drug, you know, and it just depends on, you know, how high you want to get or how low you get. And you are enough.
Yes.
And outside influences and outside noise and conversations will never, never substantiate or validate who you are until you get your mindset in your own mind. When you look and you say, wow, you know, I love these bumps and wrinkles, or I'm a little thin, maybe I could put on a little this or a little that, or maybe I could put on some eyelashes to make my eyes look bigger, or get a lip pencil instead of getting, you know, Botox injections if you don't need them. There's a lot of things that you can do just with self-love and a conversation with yourself. Do you talk to yourself, Carly?
Oh, all the time.
I do too.
Every day.
I talk to this board of directors in my brain all the time. I do. I have a meeting to see what we're meeting about. A lot of people don't like to talk to themselves. They don't like to be alone. Do you have a problem being by yourself?
I don't. I actually really enjoy solitude. I love being around people, but I live by myself. So I love it. And, you know, sometimes I just like, I'll put my phone on do not disturb and it's like, okay, this is me time, you know, but yeah, I absolutely love being by myself. Now, I was not like that before I really transformed my mindset. So I get it. You know, if you struggle with being alone, once you learn to be happy with yourself, it's so much fun to be alone sometimes.
And find out the things that you really like. You know, you go to the movies with friends, okay, because they pick the movie. Or you go to a certain restaurant with friends because that's the kind of food that they like. But what do you like? You know, what is it about yourself? Do you ever sit there and do a brain dump? I do a brain dump all the time. I get a pen and a piece of paper and I just, whatever's on my mind, I just let it go. Because what that's doing, brains, is opening up that capacity so that you can fill it with good things. If you are like this, you can't give nor can you receive because you're trapped. And it's an endless cycle. Go on a walk, drive to another part of town and just park your car and just walk through the neighborhood. You know, don't look suspicious. But do something different. You know, go to the beach. I live here in San Diego and I should really have my hand slapped. I don't go to the beach as much as I should. All the beautiful coastline people would die to live here and to be able to go to the beach every day. So do something different. Read a different type of book. Listen to a different type of music. Work with great people like Carly. Have a consultation. Have a conversation. Because there's some sugar plums dancing in your head that you don't even know who they are. We only use about 15% of our subconscious mind. The 85% is probably four or five other people that you've never been introduced to. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. That's a great way to put it. And I love your concept of doing something new because I do that all the time. Sometimes if I wake up before the sun rises and I've got time, I'm about an hour from the coast. I'll hit the road and I'm going to go watch the sunrise.
Well, I'm going to have to do more of that. I'm talking to wonderful people like you at that time of morning, but I've really kind of set a routine and we want to share this with entrepreneurs too. Don't overthink it and don't overwork it. Being an entrepreneur is one of the toughest jobs that you can have. Everybody talks about this freedom and flexibility. No, it's a hustle. It's a grind because when Carly is available at 6:30 at night, April needs to be available at 6:30 at night. But what I've done is, as an entrepreneur, I've created the mindset of a W-2 employee. I get up, I get my shower, I dress up. I don't sit there and look in any old kind of way, because that's not how I want to greet my day. I give myself a lunch break where I completely step away, go outside, or, you know, go for a walk or whatever. And then I come back in, I do my work, and I have working hours, 10 to 7. And after that, I'm done. I'm off on the weekends. I schedule myself time, because it's a thing called balance. My circadian rhythm was off. That was a cause of weight gain. I wasn't sleeping. My body wasn't able to repair itself. I wasn't eating properly, so I wasn't eliminating properly. It's an endless cycle. And the only person that you're going to defeat is yourself. Am I right?
Absolutely. That's powerful.
Wow. Well, you are powerful. And I want people to love on you and to work with you and to, you know, really use you as an example. You're going to be my template. Every time I go to look at something, you're going to be on my plate. I'm saying, okay, well, you know, will Carly eat that?
I love it. I love it. And just know there is never any judgment, because sometimes I would eat that. However, how much and how often? Absolutely. I'm not going to eat it every day.
That's exactly what I said too. I don't want to deprive myself of some of the greatest pleasures in the world, but it's about portion control and it's about mindset. And thank you so much. Put that book up one more time so my brains can see it, and they can purchase that on Amazon, correct?
On Amazon. That's correct. Level up, and you just put in my name. There we go. Oh, there we go.
Put your little face to the side. I don't want to block your face. Yeah.
There we go.
Yes, Diva. We need to see all of it. Level Up, A Simple Guide to a Body, Brain, and Spirit Shift. Yes. All right. And I'm telling you, if you get that brain and that body together, the spirit can't do anything but, like that cake, rise. Thank you so much. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you.
Thank you so much. You can find me on Instagram or Facebook. Just use my name. I make it very simple, at Carly Grinner, LinkedIn as well. Just reach out to me. You can contact me either of those places, and I'm here for you. And I am cheering for everyone, because we are all meant to succeed.
Wow. You hear that, brains? We are all meant to succeed. If you can find the postcard. Brains, I need you to go in, like, love, subscribe, share this great information. They're easy breezy. I don't want to make it complicated. It doesn't, we already got problems. We don't want to make it complicated. We want to make it easy. We want to make it fun. Changing your mind shift, again, is like changing gears. But we all want to be headed north. Bye, Carly. You're the best.
Thank you so much.
Take care of yourself, brains. We're watching you.